Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty, powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping she's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Shabbat door, Father. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for this rest, this day of rest, Father, where we can put down all our burdens and get within your glory, Father. Get a blessing, Father. It is wonderful to just get a blessing from you, Father. We thank you for that because this day alone is blessed, Father. This day right here, Father, because you blessed it at the beginning, way back in Bereshit, Father, Genesis, Father. You blessed this day, you sanctified it, and all those who take part of it get a blessing, Father. We want blessings, take part of the Shabbat, Father. Thank you, Abba Yah. I ask that your will be done, Father. for this show, Father. I ask that for all those who are ailing, Father, who are going through any trials and tribulations, Father, may it be spiritual, mentally, Father, physically, Father, that you heal them, Father, that you send somebody, Father, their way, Father, to give them an encouraging word or just spend time with them, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Welcome once again to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ariel, here again at Iblis Culture. We at Iblis Culture. We at the end of Iblis Culture. This is the last segment, the installment of the Council of Yisrael. Prayerfully, Abba showed us something. I know he has. In these last three lessons that we have, prayerfully, that we're getting something. Whatever he's showing you, that we are applying it to our own lives, you know, that that's what we get. We get Abba's word on this day right here. We get four meals, matter of fact, three meals tonight, tomorrow morning, and we get the entree at 1:30. You know, four meals, four things that Abba throughout the week prepares with his kohanim. He prepares their mind and prepare a meal for the congregation, for his yaladi, his children, to edify us, to build us, and to allow us to be able to move within this world system, stay on that straight and narrow. So he prepares meals for us each and every week, continue building us, continue strengthening us, and continue getting us to that higher calling towards the mark. So we can reach that mark. At the end, we all want salvation. We all want to be in the kingdom. That's why we do these things, because we want to be in the kingdom, and not just in the kingdom. We want to work. We want to do for Abba. You know, we want to put forth our lives for his, you know, because scripture talks about being a living sacrifice. We come to understand what Yahushua did for us. Now we, as his children, his Yaladi, we want to lay down our lives for him. We want to not just be good believers in this world system. We want to tear down Satan's kingdom. Because understanding that challenge that was made to Abba way back when, that he's going to raise his throne above his. So Abba allowed him to start everything first, allow him to set up his first kingdom, allowed him to even have his council set up. Because we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, even last week, a week before last, how Satan's church is set up perfect, how Abba's church should be set up. You know, one, a governing body that governs the whole scope, the whole world, everywhere a Catholic rules is or laid, he is governed under the Pope. Everywhere, and not just under the Pope, under the bishops, the cardinals. They have a council, they have a rulership. And they're set up the way Abba should be set up. But Abba, in his wisdom and his understanding, he always allowed to ask, you go first. You get out there, you go first. You be the first one to set up the kingdom. You be the first one to do anything you want to do. Matter of fact, you get 99.9% of the world on your side. All I need is that 1%. To show you how grand and how powerful I am. So we want to be a part of tearing down his kingdom. We want to be a part of rooting up, tearing down. So not just in the kingdom, but we want to be warriors for the kingdom too. We want to be fighters for the kingdom. We want to be on the front line. But again, as we found out and as we will find out, everybody's not chosen to be on the front line. Everybody is not chosen to be that warrior. Everybody has a role to play, but everybody does not have that role to play on that front line. They does not have a charge to be on the front line. And those ones who are charged to be on the front line, they're special set-apart people, which we know and understand that the nation of Israel is already a nation that's set apart to Abba. But within the nation, they're ones that set apart within the nation. And we know and understand it because we can go back to how he took the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Levi, to himself. He set them apart from the rest of the tribes. So even from that example right there, we know and understand, yes, the whole nation is set apart, but even within the nation, there are ones set apart to do special jobs. But hallelujah, because Abba answers questions. He answers questions that we ask him, and he answers. Because I remember even this week, last week or week before, whenever we talked about the Sanhedrin, and I asked, you know, well, we know we're going, that we found out that the Sanhedrin was Greek, was a Greek name, you know, had Greek origins. So the question was, hold up, Abba, what was your counsel? You know, because we know that where we are right now in the book of, the book of Maccabees, how Rome, the Grecians, have infiltrated Israel. You know, how they have came into power, and they are setting up the priests. They are setting up ordinances and laws and statutes and judgments. They are adding to Abba. So Israel have been infiltrated. You know, at one time, you only had to come from the tribe of Levi. At that time, where we at right now in the book of Maccabees, you only could come from the tribe of Levi. Mashiach have not been on the scene yet, because we know once the Mashiach, Messiah, come on the scene, he changes that. He changes that you don't just have to come from the tribe of Levi to be a Kohanim, to be a priest, called out one. But we know within the book of Maccabees, at that time, you had to come from the tribe of Levi, to be a priest. But now, men are buying into the priest. They are buying and selling the priesthood of Abba. Why? Because they're under oppression. They're under another kingdom jurisdiction. We could put it like that. The Rome has jurisdiction over Israel right now. They are the ones who's setting up the priests. They are the ones who's setting up ordinance. So we ask Abba a question. Well, what was yours called? What was this council? What was they? And he answered it. Hallelujah. He answered it. And we're going to see tonight, because this is the closing, fitting that he will answer it on the closing, which, hallelujah, I'm telling you, hallelujah. Abba answers prayers. We ask him, he's going to answer. And this he answers straight out the word. Matter of fact, we're going to be reading out the King James tonight, family. We're going to start in Ephesians, because this is the closing thought for, we read this before, starting at verse 11, because the council of this board, this rulership, this governorship of Israel, this is what it's for right here. Because remember what we just said, everybody is not set to do what Abba asked. I mean, they're set to do what Abba asked them to do, but everybody does not have a special role in what Abba asked the world, Israel, to do. There are some within Israel set apart. And somebody shoot me a text, let me know I'm sounding okay, please, if you can. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Mashiach. And that right there, we want to focus in on 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What ministry? For the good news. for what he do for the nation of Israel, for the body of Mashiach, which is the nation of Israel. There's not no so-called church. We know that. We ain't got to go through that. He gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists. Todah, Aki, Todah. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Mashiach. He set apart men to do a certain work for his people can come into a perfect relationship with him. So it's not for everybody to be a teacher. It's not for everybody to stand up and say, I'm going to teach Abba's word. I'm going to be on the front line. It's not for everybody. And that's word 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of El, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Mashiach. Listen to that, family. So we all come in the unity of faith. Israel is so, we are so spread apart. We are so spread apart. We're not unified in nothing. In nothing. Not the Sabbath, not how you keep the Sabbath, not the laws, not the feast days, not nothing. So let's start here at Bet Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland, to become that perfect unit Abba set us up to do. Because it must be a beacon somewhere in this world that's perfect in unity. Let's start here with us. Let's start it here, which we've been told many times. We're told to spearhead these things. Till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Mashiach. Here we go, 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We see that a lot with Israel. We see men rising up, walking into a space, being leaders, being apostles, being evangelists, being prophets, being teachers, being pastors, and have not been called. But what they're doing, they're setting up these doctrines. Being deceiving the people. And again, told us this a couple of weeks ago. He said, our greatest foe is going to be Israel. The greatest foe for this movement is going to be Israel. And we should not be surprised by that. All we have to do is look at Yahushua's life. His greatest enemies was Israel. Those who supposed to have been evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, morays, those who supposed to have been teaching his father's word and bringing the people to better understand and bringing the people into unity, they was the Mashiach's greatest enemies. It wasn't Rome. It was Israel, Yahushua's greatest enemy. Not Rome. Israel. Israel was the one who broke Yahushua's heart. They are the ones when he looked at Jerusalem and wept. That was Israel who broke his heart. Israel. Matter of fact, we're going to read that later on. We're going to read that. How Israel broke his heart and how he gave his apostles an outline. But we wanted to start it there in the Ephesians family because we wanted to stay on this line that these men are set up to be on the front line. not just for them, but for their, for the body's sake. What do Brother Shaul say? Brother Shaul say, we are slaughtered all the day long. For who? For Israel. Why? Because Brother Shaul understood that he was one of the set apart ones to be on the front line for Israel. To be on the front line for Israel. So his life was slaughtered. His life was sacrificed all the day long. He understood where he was, what he was supposed to do in this world, to be a sacrifice for Israel, on the front line for Israel. Torah Akoti, Torah. So let's move on. Let's get into this council and what this council is. What did Abba call these men? You know, so we can close this out. We're not going to be long tonight, family. We're not going to be that long. This is the closing point that Abba want us to get to. Beautiful, too. So let's go to Exodus 18, Shemot 18, excuse me. Shemot 18. Starting at 14. We're going to read from 14 to 22. And when Moses, let me give you the backdrop on it. This is when Moses' father-in-law saw him sitting in the gate, judging the people, handling all the matters, for those who may not know. He was handling all the matters of the whole Israel, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came in and said, hold up, man, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill yourself, and the people is going to be scattered. The people, you're not going to be no good to the people. So he gave Moshe some advice, some good advice, matter of fact, some inspired advice. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of El. So what is being said here? He asked Moshe, why are you doing this? Why you are the only one sitting in the gate doing this? And Moses said, because, you know, I'm the only one that they're going to come to inquire of El. So that's the one point we got to get right there. The nation of Israel at one time only went to Moses. But what happened? A pattern was started. Moses, you set this pattern up because you're not going to be the only one throughout the ages down the line that the people are going to come to. I'm going to set up a system so the people can come to. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, people come to me to inquire of Yah. When they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of Yah and his laws. Let's keep that in our forefront. A pattern is being stated. A pattern is being started. Why? Because Moses is the only one right now that the people come to. They come to him so he can judge between matter and matter. He can judge between one thing and another and to know Yah's laws. He's doing that. But Yahweh moved upon Moses' father-in-law and said, that's not the pattern that I want. I don't want them just coming to Moshe. I want Israel. I want men within Israel. Also, I want a system set up for Israel so these people can come to. But Israel is so far off today because they think they can go to more Abba themselves. They want to skip over Abba have started for them. They want to bypass that. Even when Yahushua came, he still set up men. And we just read in the book of Ephesians that for the edifying of the body of Mashiach, the system is still set up. But Israel today, they want to bypass the system. They don't want to hearken unto what thus saith Yahweh. Why? Because we can read today. We have understanding today. But is it according to the will of Abba? Is it be what he set up? I can read the Bible, so I can sit there and pray. I can go straight to Abba. But why would Abba set up a system way back when if one day he's going to change it? Because his son came. But his son didn't change it because his son set up the exact same system. But edifying for the perfection of the saints, he set up the same system. System. Israel is missing that. That's why we're in such a disarray. Because we don't want to do what thus saith Yahweh. Such a disarray out there. There's so much confusion. He said in a perfect unity. But they don't want to do how Abba set it up. They don't want to do it. But that's why all Israel, that's why he only said that it's going to be a remnant. Because he know Israel, hard-headed and stiff-necked. He said it's only going to be a remnant. Because they're not going to listen. They're going to do what they want to do. They're not going to listen to the system that I set up. And this is word. We ain't go out of the word. This is pure word. Let's finish that, man. You understand that? 16. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of Yah and his Torah. Moses said, I do that. But Jethro about to give him some advice. Well, you shouldn't be the only one doing that. Jethro, you listen to me. That's my system. I want to set up a system anyway. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Holy men spake as they was moved by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit. What you doing is not good, Moshe. That's because I got a better way. I have a system that I want to set up. Thou was surely way away. Both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and Yah shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to, oh man. Yah would, I'm going to give him that one, that thou mayest bring the cause unto Yah. And thou shalt teach the ordinance and laws and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Yahweh. Men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, all the time. All seasons, all the time. And it shall be that every great matter that thou shalt bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Hallelujah. But we missed something. Let's go back up to 21. And I'm going to start in the middle of it. And place such over them to be rulers. And that's the one word Abba told me to look up. He said, look up rulers. You get a chance, if you have your Strong's Concordance, and then go to it, look it up. And it's Saw. I said, okay, Abba, I looked it up. So all right, now, looking, what's the letters? Shin Resh. Shin Resh. To destroy, to consume leaders. To destroy, to consume these leaders again is going to be on the front line. To tear down Hasatan kingdom to protect the flock. I said, oh, goodness, Father. Hallelujah. That's what these rulers going to be. These men that Abba have set up for the edifying of the body. For the perfection of the saints. These men are to protect Israel. They are to protect Israel. They are to lay their lives down for Israel. Those who Abba have called out and set apart of the nation of Israel. These are very important individuals. And have a great responsibility, as we said before. They have a great responsibility. First and foremost to Abba, and secondly to the nation. Their lives should be laid down for the nation. But let's continue to move on, because we still want to find out what are these brothers called? What did Abba call these brothers? Because the Sanhedrin, we understand that. Hey, Rome set that up. Rome, that comes out of Rome. That's not what I would call them, brothers. So let's go to Numbers 11:16. Let me get back to that. Bamidbar, my soul fam, excuse me. We're going to go to Numbers, Bamidbar 11, starting at verse 16. And we're still talking about this council. We go 16 and 17, then we're going to jump down to 11, 25 through 30. That's for those who are taking notes. And Moses said unto Yahweh, oh, no, that's not it. I'm at 11. In Bamidbar 11, 16. And Yahweh said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 of the elders, 70. Of these rulers who's supposed to root up and tear down Hasatan kingdom. Gather, I only need 70. That's all I need. Unto me, elders of Yisrael, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them. The same ones his brother, his father-in-law, Jephtha, told him to do, that he went and set up. And bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Why, Moshe? Because I'm setting up a system. I'm setting up a system of council, of rulers within Yisrael. Because he's right. You wasn't supposed to do that by yourself, Moshe. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and they that they thou bear it not thyself alone. Moshe father-in-law was moved by the Ruach HaKodesh to say that. Because this is Abba speaking now. This is Yahweh speaking right now to Moshe. Because what he's saying? He's going to put his spirit upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, Moshe. Why? That thou bear it not thyself alone. These men, again, that's being poured out. They have a heavy burden laid on them. They have the Ruach HaKodesh that Abba is giving them so they can rule righteously, so they can rule with compassion, so they can rule with love and selfless. They won't think of themselves first. Let's jump down to 25, family. And Yahweh came down in a cloud and spake unto him. Hold up, Matthew, let me start at 24. It's 24, family. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Yahweh, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And Yahweh came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took up the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. And did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out until the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. If Yahweh chose you, can't nothing stop. They wasn't there, but because they was chosen, the spirit of Yahweh still rested upon them. It still rested upon them. And there ran a young man and told Moshe and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Yahushua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moshe, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? With Elohim, that all Yahweh's people were prophets, and that Yahweh will put his spirit upon them. What? Right there, Yahweh answered the question, what was these 70 men? They were prophets. They were prophets. They were 70 prophets that Yahweh has set up for the nation of Israel. Prophets. Right then and there, that question was answered when I was reading. I was like, hallelujah. Lord, our Father, thank you, because you answer within your word. Within your word. And not just in your word. Not just in your word. Because he said, if there's a prophet among you, I speak to them in dreams and visions. And we know here at Beth, especially here at Beth Yahweh, we get dreams and visions. Abba speaks to us. We know that. We can't deny that. Hallelujah. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Listen to what he said. Man, I wish that all Israel was prophets. So what right then and there that tells us all Israel is not prophets? All Israel is not going to get that special spirit put on them. All Israel will not be put on the front line. They will not have to carry the burden for all the people. They are special men called out and sent out and set aside for that one alone. Let me read it one more time, family. I love it. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake with Elohim that all Yahweh's people were prophets, and that Yahweh would put his spirit upon them, all of Israel. I wish that, just listen to Moshe is saying that. Moshe is saying, here's just food for thought. Why did Yahweh had to mention Yahushua, son of Nun, within that short little story? Just food for thought. Comb through it for yourself. Why did he mention Yahushua, son of Nun, within that little story right here? For Moshe to come, I wish all Israel was prophets, but all Israel is not prophets. But there's that 70, those called out ones, those ones who going to be put on that front line will be the prophets, those who Yahweh used to root up, to tear down. Matter of fact, we got to read Jeremiah 1:10-2. We got to read. Let me finish that. And Moses got him into the camp, and he and the elders of Yisrael. So what is the Sanhedrin? What is this council that's over top of? These are the prophets that Abba have poured out. He have chosen. For what? What is their duty? For the edifying of the saints. The saints can come in perfect. Israel can come in perfect unity with Abba. And for the burden, for the laying down their lives, for being on the front line for Israel. It is a system that Abba have set up way back when, and it's still going on today. It's still going on today. What we have to do is revise it. Why? Because we know what happened to Israel. We've been scattered. We've been torn apart. We've been sent each way. So we have to revive it. Now we in the day and time that's upon us, that these men must go out and lay their lives down and put their lives on the line. Because once Abba give that command, and we have to start speaking against this world system, we know what's going to happen to us. As a matter of fact, let's read what Yahushua told his called out one, his set apart ones. And we're going to Matityahu 10. We still got some other ones to get, some more scriptures to get to. But we just want to finish building on how Moshe did it first. He pulled out, took some of the spirit off of him. Now Yahushua is doing the exact same thing. But when Yahushua do it, Yahushua gives us a little bit more detail, because this is the criteria. This right here is, all right now, this is what you can expect walking in my shoes. Because when we read it, we want to keep it in context. Because a lot of time when we read, especially in the New Testament, we take it out of context. Matter of fact, we read this whole chapter because we want to continue on that line of thinking. We want to get this. And it is so beautiful because Yahweh has put in Brother Yaki Elmai to teach the exact same thing, coming from another way. But they still, both teachings still connect. Because again, here at Beth Yahweh, by two or three witnesses, is a matter is established. I don't know about nowhere else, but I know here, Yahweh gives the teachings. Yahweh set up what he wants these men to teach. We may feel as though we want to teach this, that, and the other, but when you get there, sitting down and putting it down, and as Ruach start to move on you, your mind go a totally other way. A total other way. Because it's Yahweh who was leading us. Let's get with this, family. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, Kephas, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Yahushua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, of the house of Israel, and how much more, how today is Israel is so much lost today. I mean, way back then, we understood it had at least kingdom. It was Jerusalem, whereas though if you had an inkling, you can go towards Jerusalem. We don't have that today. We don't have going towards Jerusalem because we know that the imposters there, I'm going to call them imposters, the converted ones, they are there in Jerusalem, and they are doing and following in the same footsteps that Rome has set up. They're putting out these doctrines that's taking the people and deceiving the people, taking the people away from Abba, away from Yahweh, and especially from his son, his sacrifice, Yahushua HaMashiach. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this is the thought. This is what I wanted people's mind before we go through this whole thing. Keep this in context. Who Yahushua is talking to. He's doing the same thing that Moshe did. The exact same thing. He's setting up a system. A system on how Israel is supposed to be edified. How Israel is supposed to know who Abba is. How Israel is supposed to know Torah. He's still setting up the exact same system that Abba gave unto Moshe. Why? Because he's a prophet like unto Moshe that we read in, I believe, what's that? Deuteronomy 18:18, the book of 8. He said, Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto thee. So he had to do the exact same thing that Moshe did. Moshe, this thing is too great for you. You can't bear that burden alone. Teaching these people my law, statutes, and judgments. Yahushua is doing the exact same thing. So let's keep it in context when we read this. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, treat saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely you give. So what these men, whatever these men doing in the name of Yahushua for the kingdom, he said, do that freely. You don't get no money for that. You don't get no fame for that. Why? Because that was given unto you freely. That spirit, whatever you had, whatever enabled you to go out and heal the sick, cast out demons, give that away freely because it was given to you freely. The same thing, Moshe. Go back and read from 18 and 24. I forgot what word, but it talks about covetousness. And it talks about filthy lucre. The exact same thing. What I give you, you give away free. You don't get paid for this. We don't understand that there's a system set up that Abba take care of his Kohanim. We don't understand that. That's not what we're talking about. Saying what I'm talking about. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs. For the workman is worthy of his meat. Now you go on there and you're giving people Yahweh. What the people should internally do is feed you. At least you coming in that city, they least can feed you. They least, if they see you without a coat, they can give you a coat. If they see you without shoes, they can give you your daily rations. But don't you go into a city and ask for money. Don't you go selling what I give you. Don't you go set up these big old revivals and charge people to come. Don't go doing that. Eleven family. And into who, whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is it is worthy, and there abide. Excuse me, and there abide till you go thence. Go in, look in the town, see who is willing, not just willing to take you in, but they are worthy of your presence. I pray and hope that the people see importance of these men. And I'm not saying it so people can start looking at them as, oh, because they should not do that. But it should be honor there. It should be respect there for these men. Because listen to what Yahushua is saying. Let me read that again. And if, matter of fact, where we at? 11. And into what whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. Who is worthy? Who is worthy of what? Of what the gift that you are bringing? Why? Because these men bring a gift. They bring salvation unto these people. Period. What did Kepha say? Silver and gold I have not, but the word of Yahweh I have. That's all I have, and that's all I can give you, which is worth more than any silver and gold. I can offer you eternal life. Why? Because it was given unto me to give out Yah's eternal life, to put you on the path for eternal life. 12 again. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your shalom come upon it. But if the house, but if be not worthy, let your shalom return unto you. Listen to the importance, the authority which Yahushua is giving these men. Listen to that. But the men must come into that realization what was put upon them. He said, if you go in that house and they ain't worthy, he first said, if they worthy, you bid it shalom. You bid peace in this house. But if not, you take that shalom back, because they're not worthy of Yah shalom. Twofold things. The men must realize what Abba has given them. Secondly, the people must realize what these men are. Let me go back into Malachi. That takes us to Malachi. I believe that's Malachi 4. I can't remember the scripture right off 4 or something. Y'all know the scripture, and y'all probably know right where I'm going at. That what he said he was going to do in these last days, he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's heart to the fathers. So the fathers, the elders, the council of Israel must come into the realization of whose stead that they are standing in, and the importance of what has been given unto them. People must come into honor and respect of these men, because great responsibility has been bestowed upon them. And great honor. 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. When they shall not receive you, not me, when they should not receive you, although we know that Yahushua is within these men, but if they don't receive you, what he's saying? Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So these men must be working. Why? Because they have to give the people an opportunity to choose salvation. And for everybody they gave an opportunity to choose salvation and they was rejected, we know what Yahweh did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it's worse for them than when that day of judgment come upon them. is worse for them then, because why? They rejected his men, his counsel, his prophets. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. When you look that up, it's talking about the Sanhedrin. We know that. And we know the Sanhedrin is these are the men that Rome has set up. These are the ones who brought the priesthood. In fact, these are, we can say, Rome's prophets. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought on how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you, given you in that same hour, what ye shall speak. So we, in other words, stand boldly on me. Stand boldly on me. Don't worry about what you're going to say when they bring you before senators, when they bring you before the president, when they bring you before this world system. And worry about what you have to say, because Yahushua is going to give you what you have to say at that time. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the brother shall deliver up their brother, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Division. Division. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but that he that endures to the end shall be saved. Yes, we know that we can broaden that, but we're keeping it in context today. The men that's going out here that's supposed to be on the front line for the body of Israel, for Israel, this is who he's talking to. But when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. Isn't that what Shaul did? You know, when we go back into, I believe it's around 16, 17, and 18, when he was going to Ephesus, Ephesians, Thessalonians, and they say, look, they're coming to get you. What Shaul did? He ran. He got up out of there. And who was Shaul again? A called out one. One for the edifying of the body of Mashiach. He was going into these different cities, teaching what thus saith Yahweh, showing them who Mashiach was, who Messiah was. But when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Let me read that again so the brothers can hear that. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? We hear that, right, brothers? If they call Yahushua Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call you? How much more are they going to call you? How much more the world going to hate you? How much more your life is going to be strained? Trust me, I've been through that. What was this? It's yesterday, day before yesterday. Woo! I was going through. My spirit was low, but I had a brother to call me. Got me up out of that. pulled me straight up out of that. Hallelujah. Torah Abayah for your strength. The brother Harvell was my savior that day. He listened to me, hearkened unto Yahweh. When Yahweh said, call your brother, call Ariel. And he called me. Matter of fact, he's been calling me ever since. I'm just calling to check on my brother. And we must do that for one another. Not just for the brothers, but for the sisters. When I will put a brother and sister on your mind, call them. Don't get distracted. Because it could be life or death. Do not get distracted when I will put a brother and sister on your mind. Call them. Drop what you're doing. And call them. Because Abba doing that, he's talking to you for a reason. We know when a brother and sister come on our mind, call them. Because we never know what they're going through and why Abba has put them on your mind for a reason. So you can go and get your brother, your sister up out of the gutter. Get them up out of that state that they are losing that battle at that time. They are allowing that unclean spirit to win. Matter of fact, it could be just like when, I believe, whatever, Gabriel, Michael, back in Daniel, when he said, yeah, I had the prayer, but I got held up. Not until Michael comes and I needed some help. Just like that. The Malachim needed some help. How much more do you think we need? So I will send somebody else to help you within that battle. So let us listen to that voice when he talks to us and put a brother and sister on our mind so we can call them. Hallelujah. Toda Abayah. And thank you, Brother Harvell, for listening to that voice. And not just listening, you followed up. You called the next day. You wasn't satisfied till you heard your brother's spirit again. Hallelujah. Toda. Thank you for that. I love my brother. 25 again. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Don't worry about what they're doing behind closed doors. Ain't nothing they're going to do. Ain't no plan they got against your life that I'm not going to reveal to you. And that goes across the board, Israel. But we're keeping it in context. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetop. We heard this before. We heard this part right here. You know what? If I give you something, I'll tell you a secret. You go shout it out on the housetop. You let everybody know what I tell you. You don't hold that. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in Sheol, in hell. Are not the sparrows sold for a farthing? And none of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. And he's talking about these men. He's talking about his called out ones right now. And those that are in that line of his called out ones, the very hair of your head is numbered. You mean a lot to Abba.
That's not bad.
31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Fear you not, therefore. You worth a lot to me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Fear you not. What you saying for? You worth a lot to me. You think I'm going to let anything happen to you? walk in my shoes. I laid my life down. When he had me bound and shackled, I could have broke free of that, but I surrendered to the will of my Father. So what you stand for, walk in my shoes. Fear you not. You're valuable to Abba. Very valuable. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Oh, don't get it twisted. I'm right now. I ain't come for no tea and cookies. I come to bring a sword upon this earth because this earth needed. It needed. I gotta read that again. Think not that I ain't come to send peace on this earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and that the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own house. You can broaden that, but we can narrow it all the way down to your very household, to those who you look at every day in your life. They are the ones that's going to be your foes, your enemies. So he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, a thunder. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Me and Brother Dayu had a good conversation last week after service. You know, and Yahweh got a great lesson for that brother. Because we were feeling the exact same way. One thing Brother Dayu talked about last week when we was on that phone after Blog Talk, Saturday Eve Blog Talk. He said it's accepting this life that Abba has given us. And that's what we fight so hard against, is accepting this life that Abba has given us. He's like, we want that world. Give me that thing. He said, you want that world. So that's why you feel sad at times, lonely at times. He said, because you want the world, but it's acceptance of the life that Abba is giving you. Acceptance what he has given us. Walking in that. Living that. Understanding that. Living the way Yahushua lived. Yahushua came to accept it, but for a fleeting moment, he didn't want to accept it, but not thy will, Father, not mine, your will. I came here for a reason. I came here for a purpose. Let me read that again. 37. Matter of fact, we start at 36. A man's shall be day of his own soul. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his tree and follow after me is not worthy of me, accepting what Yahweh gave us as we have been given it. Coming to accept it. Coming to accepting the hardships. Coming to accept that this world does not want us here. This world does not love us. Just like it didn't love Yahushua, it's not going to love us. And we broaden that not just for his disciples, his Talmudim, but for all those who believe in Yahushua HaMashiach. They do not want you. They do not want you. Why? Because you got the living El within you. And this world can't stand the living El. They don't want the living El. Take if not his tree and follow after me is not worthy of me. That's that torture stick. He talking about that torture, what was his, what bothered him the most, that torture stake. We have our own torture stakes within this world system. What he said is pick up that torture stake and keep on that road, that straight and narrow path. Pick it up. Don't leave it. Pick it up. Carry it as I've carried it. Carry my own torture stake. That's what Yahushua is saying. We got to carry our own torture stake. He that receiveth you, no man, 2 Corinthians 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he loses his life for my sake shall find it. Accepting what Abba have chosen you for. Accepting. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let me read that one again, because that one is deep. And whosoever shall give to these little ones, unto who the disciples, those of that in that line, those prophets, a cup of cold water, only in the name of this, in the name of the disciples, in Brother Yaquiel, Brother Yariel, Brother Ahabel, Brother Mariel, Brother Deuel, Brother Shafutel, Brother Shabbael, in the name of a disciple. He didn't say his name. He said, in the name of a disciple, these men have a great responsibility upon them. It's accepting what Yahweh gave us. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did have, matter of fact, I can end it with that. I can end it with that. Now we have much more clarity on this scripture right here anyway. It takes us even to another level of understanding of what I'm going to read, and that's in 2 Chronicles 20:20. No, I don't think that's 2 Chronicles. Let me see if that's 1 Chronicles. Let me go to 1 Chronicles, man. 1 Chronicles 2020. Hold on a minute. All right. I believe it is in 2 Chronicles. Give me a moment, family. Give me a moment. We know the scripture, but I'm trying to figure out exactly where it's at. Give me a moment. If somebody know the scripture I'm looking for, please shoot it to me real quick. Because I don't want to hold the family up not saying nothing. Okay, I'm reading it right there. But I just ain't read the whole part, excuse me. 2 Chronicles 2020, family. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is the part. Believe in Yahweh, your power, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Why? Because these men is still in the line with Yahweh set up. He has set up a system for Israel. And what is the prospering that these men have? They're going to teach you the laws, statutes, and judgments, what Moshe was geared to do. But the Spirit of Yahweh moved on the Father in law to say, no, that's not how I want it. I'm going to take some of your spirit, Moshe, and I'm going to put on these 70, and they're going to prophesy. These 70 men are going to be prophets. But there's a line, because Yahushua came back, and he did the exact same thing. He sent these men out. So we go back in Ephesians, and we read in Ephesians talking about for the edifying of the body. We rightly dividing the word of Yahweh. Who does that? One who was called, one who was sent forth. For the edifying of the body of Mashiach. So there will be no divisions, so they will not be deceived. Because that's what these men's jobs is. That's what they were set up for, to be on the front line for Israel, to carry the burden of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did have Jeremiah 1:10, family, to root up, to tear down, and 1 Kings chapter 18 that we was going to read, what a prophet did. He rooted up and he tore down, but we're not going to read that. We're not going to read 1 Kings chapter 18, and that was the battle on Mount Carmel. And that's when, again, when you go back and you read it for yourself about what he did, Jeremiah, on the battle of Mount Carmel, the 40 prophets, the 400 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah, and it was only one against that 400. One. They had a battle with Eliyahu, what he did. He rebuilt the altar of Yahweh. Repaired. Now, that's another thing that's bestowed upon these men in these last days, to repair the altar of Yahweh, to set it back up, to set the crooked path straight. Hallelujah. Let me end, family, and that is the end of my section. Who else in there? Okay. Of my 6 weeks, prayerfully, Yah gave us something that we can eat on. And I know Yahweh gave Brother Yariel something that we'll be eating on next week. And I'll be working on something that I was told to work on yesterday. We'll find that out at another date. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctified the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blessed Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah, Todah Abba Yah, for giving us understanding on your counsel, Father, for giving us and taking us back, Father. As you said in Jeremiah 16:16, go back, search for the old past, Father. Thank you, Father, for it was your will that we learned about this, Father, not my will. Father, I ask that all those who hear this and all those who have heard it, that you build on them, Father. You give them the increase, Father. You water, you planted, you watered, and you gave them and give them the increase, Father. You bring them to full understanding of the duty of Yisrael, Father. What it means to be an Ibrit Yisraeli, Father. Hallelujah. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom, Abba. Thank you.
Yes, you're more than